Well, show and tell is just, you know, probably a much softer way rather than, say, Christian apologetics. And you can feel it, can you? Show and tell rather than Christian apologetics. And apologetics in ancient Greece was a legal defense against an official charge. So now you have an understanding of what we're talking about, Christian apologetics, show and tell. That means, you know, you stand for Christ and for Christianity, biblical Christianity. Strange, you know, I have to add biblical nowadays just, you know, to make sure what we're defending. And we present your defense, or you present your case, probably it's the best way of putting it, present your case for Christianity. In 1 Peter, the word is translated as a defense of the Christian faith, you know, against criticism, against any opposition, by giving reasons for the truth of the beliefs on which their hope was based. About the book, and the book is here, of the collection, Show and Tell. It's better for reading rather than using it as a route for me to, you know, try to expose. So I recommend you to buy it if you can. Once I'm finished with the series, you know, I'm very happy to borrow you this book, okay? Or any of the series for that matter. Well, the book is a collection of articles by various articles from present as well as from the past. And it tackles the importance of presenting a reasonable defense or explanation of the Christian faith as it faces waves after waves of challenges to its message, to its way of life, as well as worldview. Some people will say it's not true. Some people will say, I don't want to live a life like that. And some people will say, well, the way you see the world is wrong. So Christian apologetics will engage with the truthfulness and reliability of the Bible, a presentation of the reasons why the way we live our faith is the right way, without trying or bragging about it, but also will present the way we use, you know, the glasses God has given us, which means a biblical view of the world he created, how that's the best way for us to engage everything around us. And here's a quote from the book, which I find interesting. It's a quote of a quote, if you get it, you know. So one of the authors is quoting Tim Keller in his book, The Prodigal God, Recovering the Heart of the Christian Faith. And I find it interesting because more than often, I think, we as Christians, we feel like, you know, against the ropes, you know. And, you know, and people are banging and banging and, you know, punching and punching. And there you are, you know. It feels like being a Christian is like, you know, being Rocky. Have you ever seen any of the Rocky series? You know, Rocky is the guy, you know, who is beaten up to a pulp until, with a last effort, he manages to knock his opponent off out. And then, you know, black-eyed, swollen face, bleeding everywhere, but he wins. You know, it feels like, you know, I know that sometimes that's how it feels, being a Christian, attacked by all sides, you know, with various groups, movements, philosophies, or even your neighbor, you know, trying to, I don't know, to somehow draw blood and to have the upper hand against you. But here is what Tim Keller says in regards to this general theme. Properly understood, he says, Christianity is by no means the opiate of the people. That's Karl Marx's challenge against Christianity. He says, it's more like the smelling salts when we're just fainted and you need something to wake us up. And that's true. And that's true. And I think it's John Lennox that will say, you know, replying to Stephen Hawking's comment about Christianity, that Christianity is a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark, to which John Lennox replied, well, actually, it's the other way around, you know. Christianity is not a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark, but it's the true message for people who are afraid of the light. I'm paraphrasing, I'm not, you know, using the exact words. And then, yeah, hold on a second. Yes. You think we are afraid of the dark, but why are you afraid of the light? Okay? It's an interesting change. And makes you realize, oh, hold on a second. Yes, I don't need to suffer, you know, that pressure. I can have, you know, a holy, godly, in inverted commas, pride of being Christian. When I start to realize not only its implication and message, but how it benefits me and puts me in a position that I don't need to feel as less intellectually capable or less articulate in whichever way other people think they are. So one point here is that we need apologetics. And for that, I, you know, just, you know, dusted off, you know, this book that I have in my library, Introducing Apologetics. The author is James E. Taylor, Baker academic. I know it's not every person's cup of tea, but it's basically a whole course on Christian apologetics. And I have here October 2006. I've read bits of it, okay? Don't worry. I did read some of it, not all of it, but bits of it. And I'm following very loosely just, you know, the introductory chapters of that book. We need Christian apologetics. But there are objections. Some Christians say, well, we have Jesus and the Bible. What are you talking about, Alberto? And what about the passages you read? You know, Paul, when he went to Corinth, it's about the power of the Spirit. And that's it, Alberto. Yes, you forgot to read, you know, Acts chapter 17, when Paul develops an argument, you know, suitable for a different kind of audience when he speaks to the people in Athens, presenting the case for Christianity to people with very little or no knowledge of the Jewish stories of the Bible. It's an interesting thing before we jump into conclusions. And the first objection is, does God need to be defended? Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we? We do. Does God need? Of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. But actually, we need to understand that a little bit more. Because the primary goal of Christian apologetics, or when you engage with these dialogues or these debates, the primary goal is to defend not God, but the message, the rationality of Christian belief. I know the ultimate goal is to cultivate Christian commitment, to cultivate a psychological state that involves both the mind and the heart, like biblical faith, okay? Because even if you do not, let's say, win over your opponent in that debate about faith, you realize that your faith is more robust, is stronger. Because when people ask about the reasons why you believe, the reasons why you hope in Jesus Christ, you say, you know what? I can tell you one thing or two about that. And it goes all the way from your personal existential experience of Christ in your life, which is valid. Some people will say, oh, hold on a second. I want what you have. Well, go to the cross, go to Christ, call out to God. But others, you know, will test you in other aspects of your convictions. And even if you don't win them over, you still benefit from that because it strengthens your Christian commitment. The primary goal is not to defend God, but it's to have a reasonable, strong presentation of your belief. Also, Christian apologetics is needed for people who are asking difficult questions or enduring uncomfortable doubts, whether they are Christians or non-Christians. Because sometimes we think, you know, we need this only for those on the outside. No, we need for those on the inside as well. Because sometimes we feel, I don't know, back to the Rocky picture, battered and bruised, until someone comes with a line of thought, oh yes, now it makes sense. Whether their perplexity is due to personality or time of life, and whether the questions are their own or they are just, you know, munching about the question of other people when they doubt Christianity or they are not so sure about whether it's the faith they want to embrace. Therefore, though apologetics is not needed for all people at all times, that is true, okay? I try to do apologetics almost at every sermon I preach, I have to say. I hope you have noticed that. It was the case this morning, at least. It is needed for some people at some point, in some times. But it's true. We are not here to defend God. God does not need defense. But your understanding and presentation of your Christian belief does, from time to time, need some help. Second, why waste your time doing this? It's impossible. Well, of course, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that changes someone from unbelief to faith. And I agree with you. So I'm not, overly obsessed with this, because I know even if I get to the point to, let's say, defeat my, calling him or her an opponent, but, in Christian terms, that shouldn't be the right word, just for you to understand, suppose you're having a debate. It's a friendly debate. And I win the debate. And sometimes at the end, it's all I won. But what I really wanted is to win his heart. And some people say, it's an impossible task. Okay? And they give some reasons for that. First of all, there is a mystery in the Christian truth. And I do agree. There is an element of mystery in our engagement and relationship with God. You do not know, and I do not know, everything there is to know about God. And I hope you will understand what I'm going to say here. Even the whole Bible is the revelation of God to you. But the whole Bible does not reveal everything there is to know about God. Okay? But do you understand? Because God is bigger. There are so many more things to know. Whatever he revealed, the Bible itself will tell us. It is for our benefit in terms of our understanding that there is a God, understanding that there is a Savior, and there is this possibility in faith to be reconnected with God and enjoy this new life. But of course, there's a lot to draw from scriptures, but God himself, he did not, unveil everything. Actually, the episode with Moses, when Moses asked God to show his glory, God said, well, I can't show you. You're going to die. It's too much for you. But I can show you something of it. Something that is important, that is necessary, that is profitable, that is useful, that you can benefit from it, that I can do. So they will also say, well, there's the element of depravity. We are sinful. Why are you going to engage in this long debate with people who are not yet transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit? Human reason is powerless to do anything about it. And of course, there's the issue of relativity. What does it mean? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. That's, what everybody is talking about these days, isn't it? We all have our truth. So you try to say that truth is objective and rational. They say, well, which century were you born? Well, the 20th. Oh, that explains a lot. That explains a lot. But here we go. An objection to apologetics is that God is too mysterious for human reason. But it ignores the general revelation and the partial success of some arguments for God's existence. There are a number of Christian philosophers nowadays, and they say, well, when you go back, where everything started, you realize that everything has a beginning, but who started the beginning? That's the big question, isn't it? And I can't say that I didn't enjoy it to see Richard Dawkins, which is a famous atheist, embarrassing himself, trying to prove that everything came out of nothing. Quoting other experts in, quantum physics or astrophysics, whatever it is, you know, or theoretic physics, whatever it is. And he was saying, and he kept saying and saying, and he couldn't understand why people were laughing. Because how can something come out of nothing? So this is the point here. Of course, it can't do the whole job, but it definitely helps us to stand our ground when people start, you know, to say things that are actually beyond their knowledge. Also, sin does not entirely blind non-believers. Always remember that. There is still a sense of right and wrong, even if they don't know how to explain it, even if they buy into, you know, relativism, as we call it, you know, your truth is different from my truth, until I point a gun right to their head and say, well, my truth said that it's all right if I pull the trigger, to which it says, no, that's wrong. What do you mean? Wrong for everyone? Yes, wrong for everyone. Oh, right, sin does distort and thwart your thoughts, but not completely. Not to the point that it is impossible for us to have a conversation about these things. And you understand what I'm saying, and I understand what you're saying, and we find a common ground for us either to agree or even disagree. And also, and Christian truths are objective and universal. And if true, rather than subjective and relative. Because we do not buy into this thing of relativity, okay? Either Christianity is true or is false. Most people say, oh, you're a Christian. Good for you. Makes you a better person, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Well, for me, what makes me a better person is something else. But we will say, well, actually, I think you don't understand, because the goal of Christianity is beyond. It goes way beyond just simply trying to make us be good people. And then you can tell the story of salvation. And of course, the point being is, it's either true or false, and I am not here trying to buy into a system of belief that is not true. I believe it because it is true, and I believe it because it is absolute. Otherwise, I would have gone with your way rather than this way, the way of the crucified and Savior and risen Jesus Christ. So do we need Christian apologetics? I go back to what I said. For some people, in some places, at some times, we do. Do we need it all the time? No, I agree with you. We don't. Reason why, you know, I'm not doing this the way I'm doing this tonight, every service. I preach the word. I do believe it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. And I preach in that belief and with that faith that, you know, in spite of my flaws, in spite of my limitations and my ability not to see everything that is in the text, I preach the word, aware that it's a word that's not mine. It's the word of God to do what pleases God and will not return to him empty. Well, if you want to explore this more specifically, there are a number of names here, and by no means this list is exhaustive. It's just, you know, scratching the surface. Those people I would recommend you to look at the internet and read. Could be articles, could be a short text, could be a whole book, okay? So Francis Schaeffer, John Lennox, Alistair McGrath, David Robertson, who used to be here in Dundee, James Taylor, not the singer, which I like, by the way, but this guy here who wrote that book, Ravi Zacharias, there's a cloud of, you know, sadness upon the name because of a number of things that happened after his death. And yet, Zacharias' ministry itself produced good stuff that is very helpful for us when we are pressed against, you know, with our backs against the wall by others, you know, who think and feel they're more clever more intelligent and articulate than we Christians. And I have a book here. It's a collection of articles and chapters by edited by Rabbi Zacharias himself, Beyond Opinion, Living the Faith We Defend. And it's a read I would recommend, okay? And you have various authors here tackling different aspects and different fronts where you feel you would need to articulate your faith. For example, here, section one, addressing the difficult questions, postmodern challenges to the Bible, challenges from atheism, challenges from youth, challenges from Islam, challenges from Eastern religions, challenges from science, and the book goes on and on. Okay? It's a good read. Not an easy read, I know, but if you want the challenge, there you are. And this is just one of many. William Lane Craig, mostly online. You'll look for him online and you'll find he is a Christian philosopher. He's a professor of philosophy. And he's been on the road for decades now. And it's a good guy to listen. Tim Keller, of course. Reason for God is the book where he elaborates, you know, a proper articulation of faith in relation to objections that people make to it. Cornelius Van Til has a very interesting take on apologetics. Rather than going to sciences, he goes, well, you have your presupposition that God doesn't exist. Well, I have mine. Where your presupposition will take you and see where my presupposition is taking me. So it's very rough, you know, basic ways. John Frame is another guy, you know, if you're into theology. R.C. Sproul, I've been benefiting recently from R.C. Sproul Ministries. Well, ministry, I could say, even though he has died recently. But the Ligonier Ministries, they have a podcast on Spotify with sermons, but also sometimes they tackle, you know, they're short talks, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes tops, you know. They're short talks on a variety of themes in relation to Bible, faith, history, and science, etc. Solas Center for Public Christianity. They have very nice videos tackling various aspects of Christian apologetics and the challenges we have. And of course, you know, these are just a few. There are lots more, but at least, you know, I would like to leave some of the names there for you to consider if you want to. As I said, it's not for everyone, not for all times, and not for all people, not for all times, not for every occasion, if you like, but those are sources you can draw from and engage in a blessed read if you want to. Questions?